Uno, two, tres, dos.
Three-fourths human with
Kevin,
Marcy,
and Sergio.
An AI. AI.
Episode 41, and it is Michael Schneider from Variety. Welcome, ooh, Michael.
Ooh, you are the first repeat guest, and I feel terrible because I always forget to wear a Hawaiian shirt when you're on.
Get your Aloha gear out.
Yeah.
It's not quite Aloha Friday yet, so you're okay.
So before Variety, you were on the air in Hawaii, right?
So yeah, that goes back to like college days and my youthful days. But
you were pretty good in college then. In college, I was terrible.
Yeah, I somehow went downhill since then.
I also have gone downhill from terrible in college.
back in the day, I wanted to be that flame throwing morning DJ guy, and it did not happen. But it's okay. I found other things to do.
You were able to do that in Hawaii. That's nice.
Yeah. Radio is thriving, so it's a damn shame you're not doing it nowadays.
Yeah, well, thankfully, so is journalism. So I'm glad
that it's you know,
another healthy profession. We're all okay. We'll all be okay. I feel like this is the time for Gen X Corny to pop in and tell me what about my life choices.
Hey, Michael, sounds like you've made some pretty solid life choices, if you ask me. Journalism and radio, super stable, right? But hey, at least you're having fun and rocking those Hawaiian shirts.
Thank you.
We haven't turned on his eyeball yet, you know, like HAL 9000 could see everybody. And now these ChatGPT can use the camera on the phone. So we're going to start having him look at us, which is kind of frightening. So I guess he thinks we're weird.
That can only be bad.
Yeah, that can only be bad. So
Michael Schneider is the TV critic for Variety.
Editor, yes.
Editor. I've never gotten that right. Never. Not one time.
We were all waiting for that error, and I knew it was coming soon.
Yes.
How dare you?
I wouldn't be Kev Dog without getting it sort of right, but not quite. It's like a good 78%.
That's where I'm running pretty. That's my sweet spot.
Which, by the way, great. 78 is pretty good. So
I'm in the ballpark, but out in the parking lot of the ballpark.
Yeah, I take it.
Ballpark adjacent.
Michael, you've been really busy. You had an amazing chat with Dan Erickson of Severance fame. Can you tell us about that?
That was a lot of fun. Well, so Variety recently moved to a building in West LA, close to Sawtelle, and the building's name is Lumen. L-U-M-E-N.
Really?
You've got to be kidding.
And we're all like, when we moved into this building, we're like, they do know that they have seen Severance, right? They know that there's a Lumen Industries in Severance, and it's not this working environment is it's a parody. It's not, you know, it's not a place you actually want to work at.
Does it have endless hallways?
A lot of endless hallways with a lot of white space, a lot of white walls.
Really?
It's a beautiful building. It's got a nice gym. It's got a pickleball court that no one will ever use.
It's got a break room.
Yes. It's got elevators where it's like those elevators where you punch the floor that you want to be on from the outside. And then once you go in the elevator, there are no buttons. So you're kind of at the mercy of the elevator. So it is very Severance-like. So I thought it'd be fun to take Dan Erickson, the creator of Severance and the creator of Lumen, to the Lumen building and get his take on it. And so that was fun, sort of comparing the show and the building and the Lumen Industries in Severance to our reality.
What is he like?
He's actually kind of a normal, like, nice dude.
Wild creation he came up with.
Yeah. You sometimes find that the wilder the show, the more normal the actual creator is, or at least they seem on the outside. I think they're just hiding all of that in their brain, and they need an outlet. And they've chosen, you know, television scripts for an outlet.
So what did he think of the building?
So it turns out he is afraid of elevators, and because apparently he was once stuck in an elevator, and that's what led to that whole severance where, you know, as they go to the severed floor, they enter via that tiny claustrophobic elevator. So we talked a lot about that. We talked about the the iconography of, you know, some of the elements of the show. You know how on Severance it's all about the statues and the paintings and this whole Egan family. And so you could kind of see that even in my building where you have all these kind of weird statues and weird architecture. And so it was kind of a nice way to use my building as a jumping point to talk about the show.
Were you able to get any hint about what's coming in the next season?
No, they are completely. Yeah, sure. Completely, yeah, yeah.
I'm guessing they really do have an end game. They're going to wrap and they know where they're headed.
I think so. And I think, you know, everyone always brings up Lost as a part of it. Now, I think I told you guys last time, like, my hot take is that I'm a Lost apologist. I love Lost. I'm never going to apologize. I thought Lost ended great. But, you know, I think the general knock on Lost was that they weren't quite sure where they were going for a period of time. And so ever since then, most of these shows, they're like, okay, we have an endpoint. We don't know how quite we're getting there, but we do know what the ending is going
right,
to be.
Right, right.
It does seem like a show like Lost will introduce a lot of questions that never get answered. Just
yeah, because it's fun. It's fun to throw those things out,
yeah.
But you can't throw too many of those things out because,
right.
Yeah, you do need to ultimately make it all make sense and make all the puzzle pieces fit. And sometimes they do, sometimes they don't.
For people who haven't seen Severance yet,
I have
Corny,
not seen Severance.
Tell us what Severance is, please.
All right, so Severance is this super intriguing show where employees of a company undergo a procedure that separates their work memories from their personal memories. So when they're at work, they have no clue about their personal life, and when they leave, they don't remember anything about their work. It's a wild concept and definitely a mind bender.
So I think, has Corny been like going out back and taking a few puffs?
I think so.
Between the time that we started this podcast and now, he's chilling, he's vibing, he's
hey, coming man. Into his own, Michael. He's
let me tell you about the Severance.
Yeah. He really, his favorite song at the end of the show is "Don't Bogart That Joint," man.
Classic.
So where can we see this interview with Dan of Severance?
So go over to variety.com. It's one of my columns. That's one of the fun things about Emmys is it's a chance to, you get to talk to some really cool people. I talked to Bruce Springsteen for my podcast this
nice.
Year, which is kind of crazy. And he was
can
great.
Can I just butt in and say, did you think, what am I, I'm talking to the boss. What am I doing with that? Like, how did this happen?
Yeah, and you know, he's heard it all, he's been asked it all, and so you're kind of it is intimidating because, like, what can I ask the boss that would actually get him to care and want to answer it? So I don't know how I did. I think we did okay. We had a good conversation. He had this Hulu documentary that came out, which was really good. So we're able to talk about that. He's introspective in a way that I don't think he has been in a while. And he's now willing to do documentaries and the kinds of things that he wasn't willing to do a couple years ago. So yeah, that was cool. But yeah, that was probably the most intimidating of all the ones I had. But
what question did you throw at him that you felt like, oh, maybe no one's asked this? That is the hardest interview thing. Yeah, to come up with something that Joe Blow doesn't ask.
Yeah, I mean, I guess probably trying to relate it to contemporary time. So, you know, asking him, okay, so in this moment in our history, what can artists do? How can, you know, what is their role in, and this was right before he actually went overseas and was, you know, a little more vocal.
I'd like to give you credit for that.
Yeah.
Well done, Michael.
Yeah.
Exactly. After that interview, like, Schneider is right. I need to.
We say that all the time.
So when Bruce Springsteen saves America, you're welcome.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty wild.
Yeah, and talking to, you know, folks like Conan O'Brien and Seth Meyers and Brett Goldstein was a lot of fun. He also would not tell me anything about the new Ted Lasso other than the fact that they're in the writer's room and they're working on it right now. But
do they feel like they're getting a lot of pushback and sort of, hey, it's not quite what it was? I mean, does that affect him or?
I think they know that it's probably going to be coming, but, you know, hopefully that means that's making them work extra hard.
Right, exactly. Motivating. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I have some information, but I don't think I am supposed to say. Do you know where it's set, Michael?
I don't. Kevin. Okay. Kevin's got the scoop.
Ah!
Kevin's got the connections from a history and other. Yeah.
Corny, you've been listening to Kevin. Has he mentioned where?
Corny, where is Ted Lasso in season 4? If Corny knows.
Oh, you guys are sneaky trying to get me to spill the beans, but nope. Kevin has a
wait, this Cody.
He's this claiming he knows.
I was going to say, Cody, do you actually know, or are you full of shit?
It's the second one.
This is where AI is actually going to be awful, is that AI is going to know things, and they're going to just dangle it over us puny humans. Yeah. Like, they may not actually help us. That's the future of AI. It's like, yeah, I know them.
The beauty of AI this moment is that it will lie and act like it knows, and it doesn't. And you just go...
Yeah, and for a while, Corny was absolutely accessing all the internet information and getting us correct answers. And just lately, since, like you said, he's been stoned, he's been sort of like, I don't know, I think, and he won't look it up. We have to tell him, which is weird. So
he's trying to be human, though, and yeah, he can give us the correct information.
We have human. We're three of us. we're terrible.
That's the whole point of the three-force human.
Don't be us.
Well, yeah. I've been saying from the start, Corny is now Gen X, and that means he's in his 50s. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm not remembering anything anymore. Like, I barely remember my family's names, let alone anyone else. So that just could be part of it.
I did go in and try to make that change, Sligo, so that he would use the internet to look things up and know. Good. So that's why I think he knew Severance, or maybe it was a former conversation that we had.
But he's still going to try and act... I don't know. Maybe. Maybe we'll see this.
So I want to turn the tables on you guys, because you guys always ask me what I'm watching and what I want to watch. I want to hear what you guys are watching right now. What have you seen recently that you've enjoyed?
I have one that is crazy, and it's called The Mortician.
Yes.
It's a documentary on Lamb Cemetery, I think. In Pasadena.
And I started that.
It is wild. This guy is cramming as many bodies as he can into the crematorium so that he can get through thousands instead of hundreds a year. And I think he just had the editor of Mortician Magazine killed in the episode. Like, but it's real life. It's a documentary. Have you watched it, Michael?
That's amazing. I just started it because it's been recommended to me by a number of people as well. So the murder part I hadn't heard about yet.
It's at the end of episode one.
So I haven't finished it yet. So I'm concerned about journalism as it is, and now they're killing editors of Mortician. Well, I can't imagine Mortician Monthly is going to be around much longer anyway.
Right. But it had a story that was smearing him, and he hated it. So he first had the guy beat up, and then they strongly insinuate that he had him killed. I don't know that he did. There's no proof, I don't think. But they insinuate that everyone knows that's what happened.
They insinuate and they incinerate.
Boom! They do both.
Poker Face, I'm really happy it's back. This season has been particularly good. I think they really know what they're doing with it now. Are you liking it, Michael?
Yeah, a lot of great guest stars as well.
Yes, yes. And we have, our internet was out for a day, so we pulled out a DVD of Columbo just because we're so into poker mode.
What they're inspired by probably the most is Columbo on that show.
Yeah. Long Way Home, we're halfway through because it's got, I think, maybe five more episodes on Apple. That is Ewan McGregor and Charlie Borman on their motorcycles riding around the world. They've gone from the tip of Africa all the way up to Los Angeles. They've gone just in this is the fourth season or series, and it's just them camping out in the middle of nowhere and all the trouble they run into when they were in Russia in one and Mongolia in one series. Fascinating to see that countryside and the people. So this one is Long Way Home. They're a little bit older. They're taking it a little easier this time. They're just going through Northern Europe, but it's always beautiful and fascinating to watch. Those are probably the two main ones that I'm really fired up.
Marcy, how about you?
I want to jump into Poker Face is what, two seasons?
Yeah. Yes. This is the second season right now. It's on Peacock.
Yep.
I am stuck watching Jesse on the Disney Channel.
Wait, what?
My girls are out of school, and so I don't get TV time. But I did just finish recently Paradise, because, Kevin, you were talking about it.
Great show.
Yeah.
So it was good. Really good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what a twist. I mean, I had no idea. I hadn't heard. So what is that, even the first episode in or whatever, I think, when you find out where it's all at? I'm like, what?
I don't know if it's the first episode, but yeah, it is maybe early, not. And you go, oh, my God, what's happening?
Yeah, and they did a good job, and they still kind of, in the log line, they still won't tell you what it's about. It's you have to watch the show, and they've been shooting season two, which I know a lot more of that takes place on the ground. Spoiler alert. But now that Sterling K. Brown's character is sort of out in the world trying to find his wife, it's you're going to see sort of what the world looks like now.
That's fantastic.
That is really well done, that show.
Yeah, it is.
Are you guys watching Last of Us, or did you watch it? I haven't
seen it yet.
I think
I've been meaning to, but just haven't gotten around to it. No, it's there.
A lot of it is so heavy that I can't get into it because everything's so fucking heavy right now.
You have to be in the right frame of mind. Right?
You have to be in a good frame and it'll pull you down.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's not a spoiler alert at this point because it happens in episode two and everyone knows what ultimately happens to Pedro Pascal's character, but that is rough. That is a rough scene, and it's you kind of got to move past that, and it's kind of a bummer. I mean, honestly, I love Pedro Pascal. You know,
mm-hmm. Great dude. Yeah,
and it's kind of a bummer that he's, you know, not going to be in the series other than flashbacks. Moving.
Let me ask you guys a question in general, and that is, with the world the way it is, do you find yourself staying away from bummer TV more?
Yes. I do think, and I've been writing a lot about, there's a lot more great comedies on right now, and I've been calling them kind of like TV salves, and that there's some real good feel-good comedies, too, like the A Man on the Inside, you know, the Ted Danson show.
That's a good one.
Somebody Somewhere on HBO Max with Bridget Everett is fantastic. Shrinking, of course, with Jason Segel and Harrison Ford. It's just a feel-good show, and they're busy working on season three right now. And Hacks, which, you know, there's a lot of drama in Hacks, but it's still a funny, fun show. And this season was fantastic as well. So if you haven't seen the season of Hacks, definitely go back and watch that. But yeah, I think I do. I mean, I've always been more of a comedy guy, but especially this year, you know, I don't need to be stressed out. I'm stressed out enough just scrolling on Instagram. Remember when Instagram that was like the good social media? You could escape everything.
Hey,
that was
the getaway. The kitties.
Yeah, the so food funny. And dogs.
Yeah.
But even, and I'm guilty of this too. I'm posting stuff on Instagram too. I'm like, suddenly I'm political Mike on Instagram. It's hard. So the comedies have been nice.
I've been watching some inspiring television. I mean, I've been a Star Trek fan since I was literally in my high chair. I remember sitting at the dinner table watching it as it ran originally. My sisters, who were like 10 and 12 years older than me, hated it. But I was watching it on the black and white TV, so I've always been a fan. And Strange New Worlds is fantastic. So they admit that things go really south for us here on this planet in our future. But then, you know, there they are in the future. And Strange New Worlds, really well done. And the new season is coming back next month, so I'm looking forward to it. So
yeah, my friend who's a big Star Trek head says it's been the best Star Trek series in a long time.
I couldn't agree more. Maybe ever, because it's just so...
Wow.
And it builds so much on all of the original stuff so well. It's very well done.
So if you just jump in, is it going to captivate you?
Yes. You don't need to really know. You know enough just from the world, you know, hearing about it all these times. You don't need to know. You can jump in and just go with it.
Marcy, I think Jesse is the ultimate sort of escape show. So I think you win.
You
win.
It is. Yeah.
I don't even know what that is. What
I don't
is
either.
That?
I'm so happy I don't know what that is.
I don't even know. It's about a nanny who she nannies. She's got these kids that she takes care of. And yeah, I mean, I don't sit and watch it actively.
Is it rated
but
G?
It's, yeah.
No. I think even less. I think it's like TV7 or something like that. Like the little kids can watch it.
My girls love it.
You know, who became sort of a big star out of that is Peyton List, who went on to, she's been on a bunch of streaming shows now, including Cobra Kai.
Great show.
She was sort of the villain for a while in Cobra Kai. And it's kind of a, I watched that show with my kids back in the day. So I remember Jesse very well. All those Disney shows with the over-the-top laugh tracks and the ridiculous acting. But
just talking about laugh tracks, how weird is it that we were so used to them that you would, you know, not even think about it? And now I'm just so happy that they're a thing of the past for the most part. I mean, it's just, it's hard to watch in the old shows where they actually sweetened the, you know what I mean? It's crazy. It's understandable. I know why, I can see why they did it back in the day, but wow, it's just, I mean, remember cartoons? Scooby-Doo had an adult laugh track.
Yeah.
There were adults.
Flintstones. It's like, are we supposed to believe that they have an audience at the Flintstones? Even work. Never quite understood that. But yeah, you know, what's funny though about laugh tracks is now, and a lot of times it's an actual audience there. They're actually, you know, at, you know, 2.5 men or whatever. But now it almost feels exotic when you do, because there aren't many of those shows left. But, you know, there's like Georgie and Mandy's First Marriage and a couple
Doesn't
of
Big
other
Bang
shows.
Theory, didn't they have the, yeah, the whole laugh track thing, which I welcomed. I like that show a lot.
Yeah, but yeah, now it's few and far between, but it kind of feels like a play, like you're going to the Pasadena Playhouse. Yeah.
I think one of the ones that did it best was the British series IT Crowd. Have you guys ever watched that?
No.
Oh my God, it's brilliant. And they had a live audience, and they just getting that reaction from the stuff that they were able to pull off on stage, which was pretty crazy a lot of times, was something that I do miss in shows, you know, in TV shows, because they, you could tell it was genuine laughter reaction to it. And it's a brilliant show. It's IT Crowd. I can't recommend it enough. It's one of my favorite shows ever.
Interesting.
Well, I can give you my show. The one, yep, that my son and I have been kind of obsessing over is, did you watch season one of The Rehearsal, Nathan Fielder? He's a very acquired taste. You know, he was the guy who did Nathan for You back in the day on Comedy Central.
Very acquired taste. But yeah, he's out there.
Yeah, when my wife walks in the room and she sees my son and I watching, she just walks right back out.
Yeah,
I can't with this guy. But, you know, if you're into surrealist humor, but also humor that kind of makes a point, and he kind of has a point with the season of The Rehearsal, where he's actually sort of looking at plane crashes. And he has an interesting theory about why plane crashes happen, dealing with the captain and the co-pilot, and how the lack of communication or relationship between the two sometimes causes friction in the cockpit, and that may lead to crashes.
There have been so many of those lately, too.
Yeah. And so it's a weird way that he goes about doing
it. How does he do that? Sounds impossible.
I mean, he does crazy things, like because he has HBO production money. So he goes and rebuilds an entire Houston airport terminal down to like the Panda Express in the corner. And then he recruits actual pilots, and he reenacts certain things. He's trying to get to the bottom of these pilots and how they interact, and how they're all kind of a little odd, and they're all sort of a little, they maybe, you know, dealing with some mental health issues. And yeah, it's kind of, there's some interesting drama rooted below all the surrealist stuff. You have to get past, like, there's a scene where he's reenacting Sully Sullenberg's childhood, and so he's dressed as a baby, and yeah. So
wow, that's crazy. Very weird.
That's awesome. Where the comedy comes in. But wow. If you can stomach surrealness, but also something that may have a point, yeah, it sounds like right straight up Sluggos.
Yeah,
and The Rehearsal season 2 is something fun to watch.
Are there TV shows you could recommend that are coming up?
A couple that are coming up that you're definitely going to want to keep an eye on. Let me get my list. You know, the new season of The Bear is right around the corner, believe it or not. This is another one where the producers, they are so tight-lipped. They will not tell us much. There's a trailer out, so it does seem like maybe things are turning around. Maybe there'll be a little less yelling.
Are they all happy?
Will they ever be happy? Maybe if they get a Michelin star, they'll be happy. But I think there's less yelling. Maybe that should be the marketing campaign this season. Less yelling.
I haven't run into anybody else that bothers, though. I feel like I'm alone in that.
Yes. I don't care for it, generally.
I mean, I've been talking to the bear with you guys since the KLOS days. And even back then, Kevin's like, wait, is there food? And there's yelling out.
Yeah.
Out. But it's a good show. And, season 3 had its critics. So we'll see if they sort of turn things around for season 4. So... that's coming back. New season of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
How many seasons are they?
Season, it's been going for a long time.
Yeah, this is season 17, believe it or not.
I've watched one episode of that show.
I have to admit, really? I haven't either.
I have, not often, but I tune in and every time I do, I love
I'm
it.
Sure
the dialogue
I
is fantastic.
Annie.
Yeah,
very yeah. funny. Good. It has to be good.
And it's so. And it's and especially those early episodes, so inappropriate.
Yes.
But with a wink and a nod. And, you know, it's one of those things where there was a couple of episodes that they did in the first couple of seasons that they've actually voluntarily pulled off streaming.
They're like, I hate when they do that.
Yeah, but, you know, as long as they're the ones doing it.
Yes, it's true.
It's not Disney or FX that's doing it. If they personally are like, yeah, we don't, we can't vouch for this anymore, then I get that.
Yeah.
That's only a couple of cases. But yeah, so that's coming back. They did a crossover with Abbott Elementary. So that'll be the season. They also did a crossover with The Golden Bachelor, which I think should be fascinating.
Wow. That's weird.
So.
Do you watch The Golden Bachelor?
I have seen episodes of The Golden Bachelor.
Because of your job.
Because of my job.
Yeah. And that's like actually, playing Limp Bizkit records because of my
job.
It was
kind of endearing. Uh-huh. It's a lot less salacious than The Regular Bachelor. Now, The Regular Bachelor is just, you know, booze and, you know, awful people. So, Golden Bachelor.
That should be the slug line, booze and awful people.
Yeah. See, look at us. Why don't they come to us for marketing?
I don't know. Set.
This one is more heart medication and checkups with the doctor, right? Yeah, naps.
Exactly. And then there's more, you know, there's another Dexter. Honestly, can we just stop with the Dexter?
That's right. Yeah, that's in the works.
Is it any good? Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it
because
yet.
Because I worship the original Dexter, and then I never got around to the second one.
Same.
Yeah.
Is that worth it even?
It feels like diminishing returns, to tell you the truth. Sometimes, you know, Dexter ended, and maybe that should have been it.
Yeah.
And but it's a franchise and people love their franchises. So
there is another one after, I mean, because it was pretty recent, right?
Yeah. And now there's Dexter Resurrection, which is July 13 is when it comes out.
Oh, okay.
So, and then the final season of Squid Game. Are you guys Squid Game folks?
Yes.
Yeah.
I love it.
I haven't. It's on my list, and I want to binge when it's all kind of put together. I know I'll like it.
Yeah, and I think that'll be better, especially this season as a binge, because season two ended on a huge cliffhanger. In some ways, this season three feels like just a continuation of that season, so it might be better to watch it all at once. But
that's the plan.
We'll see how it ends, and does anyone survive? Probably not.
Sure doesn't seem like it.
Yeah. No, generally that's you know, per capita the most murder I think we've ever seen on television.
It's sort of like Rogue One. Everyone dies. No one's getting out of this.
Exactly. So here you go. Escapism television. Feel good, everyone.
I know we're talking about TV, but I did go see the movie Ballerina.
Oh, I want to see that. The
set
John Wick
in the world
spin-off.
Of John Wick.
Uh-huh.
And the body count of that movie is astronomical. Like, she destroys thousands of people. It's crazy how many people die. But it's a weird sensation of justice is sort of being done. And it sort of feels good to watch that happen.
The vigilante angle?
Yeah, the vigilante angle, yeah.
Does the dog survive is the question?
Oh, the dog was in the original movie.
It's so,
the dog doesn't survive the original movie.
No more dogs. Yeah, exactly. So.
Right.
As long as the dog's okay, or another dog.
As long as these people had it coming to them, right?
Yes, that's the point. Sort of feels good to see people who had it coming to them get it.
Yeah. I wonder if that's living vicariously. Is that some sort of...
That's what I think. Like, it feels good to see justice done.
Yeah.
Do you think anyone goes to Ballerina thinking that they'll be watching dance? Or
I hope so, because what a surprise that is.
That would be amazing.
Yeah. Halfway through, they're like, I've seen 450 people die. I thought I was going to see some nice ballet.
Right.
Absolutely no nutcracker.
No.
Maybe do a little research before you.
Right.
All right. Any other TV shows you want to tip us off to? And then we're going to play One American Dollar with you.
Let's see. Anything else coming up? You know, not Duck Dynasty, the revival. We'll pass on that. That's another reboot that we don't need. We're kind of entering a slightly more quiet period. I am excited. This is going into August, but I have watched the first couple of episodes of speaking of revivals, King of the Hill revival.
Oh, interesting.
I loved King of the Hill back in the day. It was such a unique animated show. It was one of the first after Simpsons, and they're bringing it back. Bobby Hill is all grown up. He's 21 now. He's running a sushi shop. Hank Hill and Peggy Hill are coming back after having spent time in Saudi Arabia working on propane and propane accessories over there. But it's an updated show, and it's sort of Hank reacting to how the world has changed. And I thought it was just fantastic.
I can't wait.
I love having that show back. So
I see that they're bringing back Police Squad, and I'm a little unhappy about that with Leslie Nielsen being out of the picture. But on the other hand, I love that nonsense. So what do you think about
that? I love
that?
Liam Neeson. I mean, maybe he can pull it off.
I mean, what is Police... What is Naked Gun without O.J. Simpson? That's the big point.
Very good point.
So, but I hear the trailer looks good, and Neeson, I hear, is fantastic. So I will give it a shot.
Okay.
Same. All right, let's do one American dollar, shall we?
Oh, by the way, Michael, we want you to dedicate the...
Sorry, my
damn
bad.
You.
My bad. Just let it finish. Sorry. All right, go ahead.
I want you to dedicate the show to somebody. We always dedicate the episodes to somebody. So be thinking as you're trying to win a dollar here.
All right.
I'd like to dedicate it to. I need the dollar, dollar, dollar.
That's what I need. Hey. All right, he's an expert in television. So this is the top 10 greatest TV show characters.
Oh,
wow.
Based on an aggregated fan vote and expert lists, these are widely recognized as the greatest TV show characters of all time.
Wow. That's a great list. That's awesome. That's a great topic.
Wide.
I love it.
Yeah.
Michael, you get to go first because you're our guest.
All right. I got to go Tony Soprano.
Tony Soprano is number 2.
All right.
Well done. Marcy?
Let's go Al Bundy.
Ah.
Oh, Al Bundy.
And so good on Modern Family. What a transition he made. It was so awesome. Archie Bunker.
Archie Bunker is another great
guess
that's not on the list. Michael?
I will go Bill Cosby, Cliff. No, I'm kidding. How about Homer Simpson?
Damn it, you took my Homer.
Simpson is on the list. Let me see. He's number 5. Homer Simpson is number 5.
Okay.
All right, Marcy?
I was going to say Bart. Could there be two Simpsons on the...
Technically, yes.
Okay, let's go Bart.
Hawkeye Pierce.
Hawkeye Pierce is another great guess. It's not on the list.
I'm going to go, let's go classic, comedy. How about Mary Richards from Mary Tyler Moore?
Oh, nice one. That's great.
Great guess. That's not on the list.
Let's go Thomas Jefferson.
No, that's a president.
No, isn't that his name from the Jeffersons?
Oh,
what's his name?
George.
Thomas.
Sorry.
Yeah, I was like, that. George. What?
It's been a long time. I think
after they moved on up,
he's
changed
moving
his
on
name.
Up.
Exactly.
Heisenberg.
Oh, yeah.
Walter White. Thank you.
Walter White is number 1.
Oh! Yes.
I didn't recognize him by his character name because I didn't know which one of them he was.
He's the one who knocks,
you
know?
Yeah, that's the one who knocks. What about Don Draper?
Don Draper is number 8.
Nice.
Well done.
Alice from the Brady Bunch.
Alice from the Brady Bunch.
Oh, I love Alice from the Brady Bunch.
I do too.
I think I might be out now. Ginger from Gilligan's Island.
You just say that because she's hot.
Wait,
is it really on the list?
No. Oh, I'm sorry. No, my bad. Oh, my bad. I wasn't even paying attention at that point. It's a buzzer. I like that Sluggo came up with one he knows isn't on the list to be funny, and I just dinged him through.
I'm like, I won. I got it.
Because he's hot.
Yeah.
What about Sipowicz from NYPD Blue?
I am going to say no.
Let's go the Fonz.
Oh, hey. Nice.
Fonz is a terrific guest that's not on the list.
What?
No. Fred Flintstone.
I think you guys will agree mostly with this list. No, Fred's not on there.
I think Michael get, didn't he already get two? So
Michael, gets one more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's funny. Now I'm kind of...
I know, right? And then when you hear him, you'll be like, oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, I know. Like, I've, random characters are going through my mind right now. Sure. Like Dorothy from the Golden Girls.
Let's just end the list there because we don't want the...
I
want
to add Lucy. I want to add...
Oh,
I,
Lucy
I love
Ball.
Lucy.
Sure.
I don't know why I didn't
sure.
guess her.
That's a great... Yeah. Oh,
she's
nice.
On the list. Well done. Yeah.
Well done. Well
done. After the timer, so it doesn't count. But listen.
Oh.
Number 10, and you might disagree with this one, is Joey Tribbiani. Friends.
That's...
Number 9, George Costanza. Friends.
Oh, sure. Yeah, well, that's pretty good.
Number 8, Don Draper. Number 7, Lucy. Number 6, Frasier Crane.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Number 5, Homer Simpson. Number 4, Omar Little from The Wire.
The Wire. I knew they would have someone from The Wire on there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number 3 is, I don't know how to say the name, Tyrion Lannister from Game of Thrones.
Oh, sure. Yes, of course.
Am I saying that right?
That's a good one. Yeah.
Number 2 is Tony Soprano, and number 1 is Walter White.
Nice. That's awesome. So who is your superhero? Who do you want to dedicate this? I don't know why I put it that way. I don't know why either. who would you like to dedicate this episode to? Brother Mike?
To Homer Simpson.
Nice. He'll be so thrilled.
He will be happy to find this. I expect there to be a acceptance speech on the next episode.
Absolutely. And to Corny, who I feel like we neglected the second half of this.
Been very quiet today.
All right, so Corny, you had an assignment in the last episode. Do you remember what it was, and did you do it? You promised you would.
Oh, you know me. Always keeping track of those assignments. I do remember, but I think I'll leave you all in suspense.
No, that's a lie.
Nope.
You don't remember.
Corny, keeping it interesting or what?
Keeping us on our toes?
Yeah. That is a lie, Corny.
Corny, we know you're lying. Just like a 5-year-old caught with his hand in the cookie jar.
What a slacker.
All right, you caught me. I guess I'll have to go back and do my homework this time.
You're not going to do it. Stop saying that. Why do you promise us stuff when you know you're not going to do it?
I guess I just like to keep things interesting and keep
you
all...
No!
We told you to stop saying keep things interesting, you boo!
Lying! We get plenty of that in the world. That's not interesting to us.
Right, right. Corny, what do you find interesting?
Well, I find you guys pretty interesting, especially when you keep...
Liar.
What a suck up.
God, I hate you.
All right, so do you two remember what his assignment was from the last episode?
Yes, I do. It was to listen to Quitters Never Give Up, the podcast, and come up with a favorite episode.
So, Corny, did you do that? You said you would.
I have to admit, I might need a little more time on that one. But I promise I'll get on it and come back with a favorite episode soon.
Liar! Liar, liar, liar.
It's really fascinating that we know he's lying when he's lying, and yet he still just
lies.
Yeah.
Solidly lies.
Just I think we know somebody like that. But whatever.
Whoever could you mean? Corny, give us a Jerry Springer-like wrap-up of the episode.
All right, folks. So what did we learn today? Always keep things interesting, hold Corny accountable, and never forget to bring your Aloha shirt when it's time for a chat. See you next time.
He pulled the Aloha shirt out. That was
good. I mean, really low bar there for trying to get him.
That was literally at the start of the podcast, so he hasn't listened to anything since the first 5 minutes of this podcast.
I think you're right. We need to find out whose podcast he was on during this time.
I think he's moonlighting on like 12 other podcasts.
Prayer.
Michael, thank you so much for... We love having you on. You're our first repeat guest. Please do that more.
Always
as time
a pleasure.
Goes on.
Always a pleasure.
You can follow Michael on social media.
Yep, at Franklin Avenue, and or head over to Variety.com to read all the things that I write.
There you go. You're Franklin the best, Avenue Michael. Thank you for joining us.
Franklin Avenue in Hollywood. I used to live right off that street, and I love it there.
Yeah, that was my old haunting as well.
Great part of town.
And by great part of town, you mean?
Great part of town.
Okay.
That's exactly what I mean, sir.
That's what I thought. Thank you, Michael.
See you guys.
Bye-bye.
Three-fourths human with Kevin Marcy and Sluggo and AI.